Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody doing this morning? Word of Yah speak, and you pour down like rain. Open our eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place, O Yahweh. Let us stay and rest in your holiness, Father. And I just ask, Father, that you let your word shine today, O Yahweh. Let your truth be revealed, O Yahweh. Use all of us, Yahweh, to represent you in the manner in which you need to be represented, Father, and that you lead us and guide us on our journey to be your sons and your daughters. So, shalom, Shabbat shalom, and welcome to another Shalom Aki show. Study the show by self-approved unto Yahweh, a workman that you have ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Your brother Ahab Al, from Beth Yahweh Congregation, good old Baltimore, USA. And I just want to remind everyone, if you haven't gotten them already, to get your study tools together. As my brother eloquently says, you know, every Friday night for his lesson. You're going to get your Bible, your concordance, your highlighter, your notebook, your notepad. Get all that stuff together. Whatever form you utilize it. You know, a man likes to utilize what's tried and true, pen and paper. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, do things just a little bit differently. I like to use my electronic devices. Nevertheless, what works for you, you know, and how you like to do things. And hope everybody's had a pretty good week, you know. Not that it's not going to be without its challenges, but, you know, one of the things that Abba helped me to realize this week is that, you know, if he blesses us to see another day, that part is already done, the part that we can't control. Everything else is made for our benefit, especially if you are believers. I believe my brother also stated last night, you know. Just have to armor up. Make sure you put your protection on, you know. And if anything, you know, happens to you, you know, my brother stated last night, check the part you may have forgotten to protect. You know, I know when I play these video games, before I go out on a mission, I do a check and make sure I got it. You know, make sure you got all your grenades. Make sure you're fully stocked on bullets and both the guns. Make sure you got your health packs before we go save the city. You know? Hey, for those who listen, if you don't know, Brother Ahaba plays his video games. That's what I like to do in my spare time when I'm not studying the word of Yahweh or being a parent. Love my games. They ain't failed me yet. I've learned valuable lessons about the word and about life through them video games there, you know? So, hey, whatever Yahweh uses to teach, he teaches. And he knows them that little nerdy kid like to stay in the house. Today we are going to be reading from the book of Revelation. I believe in Hebrew it is called Hitgalut. Correct me if I'm wrong, brothers. And it is the book of the exile. You know, when the brother who received it, he was exiled on the island of Patmos for teaching and preaching the word of God, the word of Yahweh, and the name of Yahushua. Thing that was revealed to him while he was in this exile from Yahushua himself was recognizing what was wrong, you know, with the world. And there's only one thing, to be honest, that is wrong with the world today. Only one thing. There's only one problem that the world system has. Sure, it manifests itself in different ways, but it really boils down to one problem. We're going to take a look at that today. Now, hopefully Yahweh will keep all of this in my mind, so in that way it can come out the way he needs it to come out. But we're going to start in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. And I was going to just go right to that verse, but, you know, I always like to start in the beginning to at least get some context of the thought. And in the second chapter, he's addressing these congregations. You know, it says churches, but they're these congregations, these groups of people who have come into a personal relationship with him. And they've been manifesting different things as a benefit or the result of having this relationship with him. But there are things, you know, along the way that they're getting wrong. And he's letting them know, look, I've blessed you and I've done this for you, but, you know, a few things you got to get right here and there. But nevertheless, they blessed him. And the fact is, he loved them so much that he showed them where they were wrong and where they needed to get right. And oftentimes, you know, one of the things that the scripture says, a man who despises chastisement is a fool. Amen. One of the things that Yahweh says about that also is he chastens those he loves. So if a problem comes about within the congregation and it is brought to bear, it is Yahweh showing his love to the congregation that these things were made manifest and so that they can get these things right. Because as any good parent does, when you see your children doing something that is out of order, you want to bring them back into order. You want to remind them, you know, you're my child. We need to get some things right. You need to turn this thing around. Trust me, you got two of these knuckleheads I got. You constantly doing that, you know. But imagine having a nation of knuckleheads, you know. that the prophet reminded them how to get it right. But a prophet was always sent out of love.
Amen.
You know, a prophet was always sent because Yahweh loved the people, not because he hated the people. Those prophets pleaded with the people. Those prophets came to the people hoping that they would hear the words that Yahweh is using them to speak to get back in line with him. You know, you think about anybody that's in a relationship, and then you may be at a point where things are out of line in the relationship. You know, oftentimes, you know, emotions get in the way. But at the heart of the matter, there's one person that's saying things ain't right between us. How do we get them right? You know, and there's another person that's saying things ain't right to right between us. How do we get them right? But sometimes, you know, emotions and feelings and thoughts, getting opinions, getting in the way, and you know, the onion of all of that has to be peeled back to get to the heart of the matter. Okay? You know, someone went astray from the will of Yahweh. Went astray from the word of Yahweh. You know, but it takes getting back to that because that's what keeps everything whole. The word of Yahweh is what keeps everything whole. The word of Yahweh is what holds all of this in place. You know? So but that's the basic part of this walk, the basic part of the struggle is going through these ups and downs and our relationship with the word and our relationship with the Creator. But anyway, without further ado, Revelation 2:1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So you see what's going on here in this congregation? There's people that are coming in. There's people that are claiming to have a relationship with the Creator, but the congregation is checking them. Man. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what they're supposed to do. Don't just trust somebody that comes up in the congregation and Man. Uses the name, uses the son's name or whatever, and think that this yeah. person automatically is in a right relationship. No, you've got to try Man. Their works. You know what I'm saying? Revelation 2:3, and has borne, has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, 2:4, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And what is supposed to be that first love? That relationship you have with the Creator. You know, that's supposed to be your first love. That's supposed to be your first wife, your first husband, your first child, your first everything. Man. You know what was Barry White's song back in the day? My everything, you know what I'm saying? That's what Yahweh is foremost. And he said, lean not upon thine own understanding, but acknowledge Yahweh in all thy ways, and he will direct your path. So that means first, before you do anything, if you have a situation where you need to get it rectified, the first thing is, Yahweh, let me talk to you first. Lead me in God and humble me. Give me the spirit to bring forth your will in this situation. You know what I'm saying? So he's reminding them, yo, y'all stepped away. Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Out of his place. Remember that now. Out of his place. And remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and we can look that up later, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Yah. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Yahudim, which say they crave, they are those who praise the name of Yah, and are not, but are of the congregation of the adversary. Now, let me put out this disclaimer before anything else goes out. I do not believe, and I do not believe that the scripture supports that any one person or any one group of people is the devil. I don't believe that's something that the scriptures support, but I may be wrong. So when we start talking about the adversary, an adversarial force or adversarial forces, they can take any shape or form. They could be anybody. Proof positive. Get thee hence, Lord, don't go up to Jerusalem to do Yahweh's will. He said to Peter, to Kepha, a Hebrew of Hebrews, And if you don't believe so, read the book of Acts and watch how Peter got down. He didn't mess. If he did talk to some Gentiles at some point, it was really not in the presence of other Jews because he didn't like to commingle. Peter was one of them people that strictly believed in, yo, I'm amongst the Hebrews. I ain't messing with no Romans. I ain't messing with no Greeks. Check him in the word. Paul had to check him and say, yo, when you around the new believers and them Greeks and stuff, you cool with them. But then as soon as the Hebrews come around, that's being a hypocrite. That's not what you walk with Yahushua. I only met him along the way. You walk with, so you're supposed to know better, Peter.
Right.
You ain't supposed to be like that to them. But Peter, at some point, in defense of what he thought was defending Yahushua, as a matter of fact, let's look at it. Yahushua had to say to him, oh, get away from me, Satan. Well, but let's look at that. If anybody finds it, feel free to
Matthew,
yes, sir. All right. Would you mind reading a little bit of my brother? I believe it starts at 21, if my son. Bible says it correctly.
No. I'm sorry. I went somewhere else. If you get Satan or something different.
Oh, okay. It is Matthew 16.
Yeah, 16. I said 4.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And Kappa took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it not far from thee, master. This shall not be unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned and said unto Kappa, get thee behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of Yah, but those that be of men.
Hallelujah. So now, let's get a little context from when Yahushua said that to him. That one, this is one of his first chosen apostles. One of his first chosen taught ones, who sat with him, who'd been with him. Only one that it was documented in the scriptures that Yahushua stayed at his house. He slept on his couch. They were buddies, right? They were buddies. I mean, they were tight. And even him saying that was because Peter had a personal connection to him. You know, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to get scored. I know what the scripture says is going to happen to you. I know what you revealed to us is going to happen to you. But don't do it. And he had to tell him, no, man, get away from me, Satan. Back up off me. You're not speaking the will of God. So that should give us one clue into what the synagogue of Satan will do, the church of Satan will do. It will get you to not try to do the will of Yahweh. Okay? All right, so let's bear that in mind. So it's not any one entity or one person, because Kepha being a disciple of Yahushua was a Hebrew. Okay? So then if we say that he or that individual is the devil, that means there are a lot of Hebrew devils out there. You see what I'm saying? But the context of it, what he called him that, was the fact that he was trying to get him to not do the will of Yahweh. Okay, so let's keep all of that in context, because this is not about focusing on one person or one individual. It's something that Yaka'el taught us a few months back, that we have to look at that as an organization, as an entity. Just like there are groups of good entities, there are groups of bad entities. And they can take on any shape or form. Once we let our guards down, as my brother's been teaching us, about putting on that whole armor.
Amen.
You've got to put on every bit, because if at some point, because Peter forgot to put it on in. Peter forgot to put it on in. And when Peter forgot, he had to get rebuked. Now, we know Peter carried that sword. If they had guns back then, Peter been one of them gunslingers.
Right.
Peter been one of them people. Don't roll up on Peter like that, because Peter shoots you. You know, like you had that old man that carried that straight razor. Or he's one of the men that walked with his sword. Matter of fact, when they rolled up on Yahushua, he said, it ain't even take but a second for him to draw that thing, slice that man ear off. He was bad with it. Okay? And he was a Hebrew. You see what I'm saying? So let's not take that out of our mind. So just to bear a little bit of foundation, because one of the things that we need to look at before we can even look at the totality of what is this quote-unquote church of Hasatan, we have to look at what it is that this adversarial force is job to do, okay? Now, one of the things that, you know, we've been reading the last couple of weeks is in the book of Daniel. And, you know, Daniel is one of the most important prophets by virtue of a few things. One of the things is his name, the judgment of El. Because one of the things that we are learning about with Daniel is how Yahweh is going to judge this world, how he's going to judge first his people, and then how he's going to judge this world. And a lot of things we learn that the world has learned in the book of Daniel about how to deal with humanity, let alone the people of Yahweh. It gives them the playbook on how to do it. Just like the Egyptians gave the world the playbook on how to do certain things, how to build people up as the deified figure, the same way the book of Daniel shows you how to subjugate people. It shows you, it gives you the playbook. And don't think that these people, for what the scriptures say, Hasatan knows the word, he knows his end. When he rolled up on Yahushua when he went to temple, he tempted him using the word of Yahweh. So if he can quote it, what is he going to teach his? His work of bees to do. You see what I'm saying? So, by virtue of the name, the subject matter, and the fact that it's about world and end time prophecy. Because we know that the book of Revelation feeds off of what is revealed in the book of Daniel. And he also said that we're going to seal up this book. We're going to seal up everything that Yahweh had told Daniel until the end. You see what I'm saying? But one passage in particular is extremely important to keep in mind. And it has been the keynote for the last couple of weeks. In Daniel 7:25. Okay? He says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Let's not limit that to just one particular subject. Let's not limit that to one particular portion of time. You know, that scripture right there, he's telling you this will always be the work of the adversary. This will always be the work of the people that are in opposition to first the Most High. He says he shall speak great words against, and not little words, he's saying he's going to speak great words against the Most High. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, times and Torah and laws and things that are in the universe that Yahweh has set up. His job is to do that. And they shall be given into his hand. And when you look at this from the Hebrew, take time and analyze it from the Hebrew, because they translated it to say, and it shall be given into his hand until a time. But you can also look at it from, it will be given into his hand to do this thing. Not just a particular time frame, but how he even adjusts the time frames. You know, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and the brother talked about it in his YouTube video that the brother shared, how we're not living in Yahweh's time system. I mean, we are, in the sense of, you can't, that's why it says he will think to change it, because you're not going to change the pattern and the rotation of the sun, moon, and stars. You can't change that. But you can change man's thinking and his perception around it to the point that it's admirable for people to think of it any other way. This system is ironclad. I remember having a debate with my brother, a brother, about that a while ago, man. And I said, okay, well, if that's the case, then don't tell them that you're going to pick up your check on Yahweh's time and see whether or not they do it. Tell them you're going to start work on the time that Yahweh says to start work, as opposed to them saying, you come in at 6 o'clock, I'm going to come in at the 6th hour that Yahweh says to come in, and see how that works for you. And it's not. It's not. Even if you live out in the wilderness, off the grid, and you say, I'm going to decide to go do something in the municipality in which I am, if you don't do it based on their 9-to-5 schedule, guess what? Try not to pay your taxes at a particular time and see what the penalty will be. They have set the time up in this system, and it is their system to do. Yahweh has given it to them to do that. Even Yahushua said, I ain't doing no this. It's not my time. It's not my time to punch in and start my shift. It's not. Once we punch in and it's time to get into Yahushua and Yahweh's time, the world is going to know it. Because at that point, he's going to set everything in order. So this is his time. This is his season. I'm talking about the adversary to do what he do. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Well, see what the word is saying. Okay. Ties into what has been plaguing humanity since the garden. And the garden is the foundation of every evil that has taken place in the world. And it's only based on one thing. There's only one thing that humanity can do that is out of the will of Yahweh. Are we going to read it? Let's go back to old Bereshit, to Genesis. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And he had said unto the woman, yea, hath Elohim said, we can stop right there. But we will continue a little bit more. But you can stop right there. Reasonable doubt about what the word of Yahweh is saying. That is what plagues humanity. That is what's plaguing Hebrews right now. It can be stopped right there. Because nothing else makes a difference. Nothing else makes a difference. That's all Yahweh cares about. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you hear my voice and do what I ask you to do, I will be your God and you'll be my people. He didn't say you had to do all that other stuff. The first thing is listening and obeying. Right? And you know what I mean? It's not a whole lot of glitzing down about that. It is what it is. Now, granted, there are other things that can be compounded on that, but at the root of it, the pure root of it, that's it. Right. We're going to continue on then. Say, ye shall, back to 3:1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had created. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What did he do at that point? Any water? Can I get any water? What did he do at that point? Anyone? Anyone? What did the devil do with that statement right there? The devil, the serpent. What did he do? Yes, I keep.
Part of it was true, but part of it wasn't true.
Okay. Part of it was what?
Part of it was false, and part of it was true.
Part of it was what?
Part of it was false, and part of it was true.
Why are you so nice in what you're saying? It was a lie. Period, point blank. Period, point blank. It was a lie. What he said was a lie. And in turn, what did he do, though? And in turn, saying it was a lie, what did he do? Thank you, God. He called Yahweh a liar. Let's call it for what it is. He called Yahweh a liar. Right or wrong? Yahweh is lying to you. He lied about Yahweh telling the truth. He called Yahweh a liar. That's why Yahushua will come back later and say he is a liar and the author of it. He lied. He told them, Yahweh lied to you. Because when he said, you're not going to die, you surely ain't going to die. He didn't say that. He said, Yahweh lying. Now imagine you tell your child the truth, and your child going to talk to somebody, and that person tell your child to tell you that you're lying. How you going to feel about that? Knuckle sandwich, right? Going to give a five across them lips, right? So that's what he did. So let's understand what the work of Hasatan is. Now, if we don't believe that was Hasatan, let's turn to some scriptures that support that was Hasatan. We know where it is. Two verses, so that we put this all in context. Okay? First thing, let me take this off. And, I believe he was in Ezekiel. He says, thou art in the midst of the garden. Thou walked upon the coals of fire. That's right, Ezekiel 28. How could I forget? No information. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Robbie. So we got to turn to Ezekiel 28:12. And it says, son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyre, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, thou fillest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the garden of Eden of Elohim. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. and I have set thee, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of Elohim. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. He had a problem. He had an issue. And what did he do with this problem and this issue? To do with what, y'all? We know this. We know this. Let's turn with it. Now we're going to turn to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And this was his problem. See, in order for us to be able to recognize it, we've got to understand who's the founder of it, understand who's the author of it, understand who is the creator of it, who is the creator of this way of life that is anti to the word of the creator. So in order to find out how the branches of it have spread out, because its branches have spread out, thank you, have spread out all over the universe, we have to understand where the roots of it came from and why he did what he did in order to inspire people in the system to do what they're doing. Okay? All right. So he says, 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of the Elohim. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, stand above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the pit, to hell, to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake the kingdom? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Say has his roots, his thought pattern, what his whole purpose is, right? Okay. So now we can build a little bit upon that, right? So let's take a look at some of the words of Yahushua HaMashiach. But before we go there, let's do one thing. Let's go back to 14:20. Right? So now, Satan. What does the term Satan mean? Who is Satan? What is Satan's term mean?
Adversary,
right? It's a Hebrew term, right? Adversary, right? And it could be applied in many different contexts, right? It could be applied to a person, right? Well, like with Peter. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Hebrew in one scripture, one of the prophets asked Yahweh to be Satan to his Satan. So it's a term that can be used as an action. It can also be implied as an entity, along with the action. But now, one of the things that we don't necessarily see is the name of that individual who's over these people. He's referred to as an adversarial force, but right here in 14:12, what do we see? Oh, Lucifer, right? So he got a name. I'm like, oh, Lucifer, Lucius. Lucifer, right? Lucifer. And in looking at this, I find this to be very interesting. Because can somebody look up in the dictionary the name or the term Lucifer and what that means? Yeah, the English dictionary. Let's look up Lucifer. And let's hear how this name, this person is described. Because this name right here instills fear in a lot of people in the world. Lucifer, oh, Lucifer. Even got a show about it. Even got a show about it.
definitions. First definition, a proud, rebellious archangel identified with Satan who fell from heaven. Second, the planet Venus when appearing as the morning star.
We got the sun, moon, and stars here. Can we also do a run on the root of this word and where it comes from?
The term is a Latin term.
A Latin term.
Morning star, literally light bringer, equivalent to Lucy, which is the same of Lux, which is light, plus firm.
Okay, so now wait a minute, though. But we reading from a Hebrew book, right? Okay, we reading from a Hebrew book, but there, it's a Latin term, a Latin name that's in there, yes?
It's an archaic meaning. It says a match struck by rubbing it on a rough surface.
A match struck by rubbing it on a rough surface. Any other references? Does it ever bring a root to Hebrew? Why does it? It's not a Hebrew word. So that means there is a translation in here? You mean that there is a Hebrew name that we should be associating with this? Why is that hidden? Why is that not translated over? Because we want to dig a little bit, because we archaeologists, right? We've been reading Indiana Jones and this bad boy up in here, right?
Amen.
Okay, because how do you not translate this over into English the way it should be from the Hebrew? Because we're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to stay in 1412. Now, does anybody have a strong concordance? I got a strong concordance in there. Let's do a little run on this. Let's stay right here because, see, the devil's a tricky one. You see, one of the things that they say out there in the world that his greatest trick is to do what? Show he doesn't exist. You do a run on this, he don't exist. He found a way to hide himself. And not even in plain sight, because this is one of them that if you don't dig a little deeper, you'll be none the wiser. But at Beth Yahweh, he's teaching us how to be studiers of this word and being archaeologists, right? So now, Rabbi, did you get it, sir?
Yes.
Would you mind sharing it with us, Rabbi?
Yes.
All right. And this is for Lucifer, right?
Number 1966.
1966, family. It's in the
book. Is Hillel.
Hillel. How did he spell that?
Hey.
Yod, Lamed, Lamed. Now pay attention to this right here because this is important, family.
Yes.
Hey, Yod, Lamed, Lamed. So this is what should be translated as Lucifer. Do you see anything in there that would show that this is brought over even phonetically, semantically? Nothing. How do you get this? Hey, yo, Lamed, Lamed, and get this. Ain't even an H up in that bad boy. Ain't even an H up in that joint. How do you do that? Why? Because you're tricky and you're hidden. But see, Yahushua knew better. We're going to see some things. But he talked about who the sons of the devil were. You see what I'm saying? And they were hiding in plain sight in front of us. And it's not so much individual of those individuals, but the fathers of those individuals. Who are looked to be great men. Now, can you do one other thing for me, Rabbi? Can you say thank you for helping a brother out? It's a great teacher. Is there a root to what term was it? 1984? Was 19 what? Even if you do a run on the year 1966, for those that's into like numbers and stuff, look at what happened in 1966. Look at that. But that's not, that's just the strong number. That's just the strong number. That's just the strong number. But take a look, because we talked a little bit about it last week, didn't we? About what took place with the Civil Rights Act in 1965, but actually went into place in 1966. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other, because this is just the strong number. That's just the strong number. But it's pretty funny. Next, what we'll see. 1984. We just gonna table that because we gonna talk about that offline.
Halal?
How do you spell it? Hey, Lamed, Lamed. Remember these three words, fam, these three letters right here, because this is the root of this. Now, when you do a run, this is only mentioned one time. Can you also say what 1984 word is?
halal to be clear,
mm-hmm.
originally of sound,
mm-hmm.
but usually of color,
okay.
to shine, hence to make a show,
mm.
to boast,
mm.
and thus to be clamorously foolish,
mm.
to raise, positively to celebrate,
mm-hmm.
also to stultify.
All right. Toda. Bear with me, Sam, because we're going to walk a little bit. Toda, Rabbi. Now, remember those three letters. Remember the pronunciation of that name, okay? Because there are two people that came into this world whose name bore those three letters. And these two individuals had a great influence on this system that we live in, and in particular, the system that the Hebrews lived in at one point, our ancestors, our forefathers. But we're going to look at what Yahushua had to say about them, okay? So, turn with me, family. You see it? You see where it's going, Robbie? You see where it's going? Because Yahushua, when he came along, he was hard on some individuals, wasn't he? He was hard on his system. He was hard on some people, man, harder than others. But there was a reason for that. There was a reason for that. Because he knew and he understood. He see, because you wasn't going to pull the wool over his eyes. You know, you can't fool somebody who knows. You can't fool somebody who experienced. You can't fool somebody who's been there. He said, I saw how the sun hit the earth like lightning. He said that. I seen it. You can't fool me. I was up there with him. I know he's the joker. I know he's the fly in the ointment. I know what he's about. He can't trick me. He can't trick me because I was Yahweh's first spokesperson. I was the one who did all of this. So you can't pull the wool over my. You can't trick me into worshiping you, dude. Let's turn to Matthew's family. He says this. We're going to start at 5:17. Think not that I have come to destroy the Torah of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, from the Torah, till they all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so that he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall have in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're going to stay there with the Pharisees for a second. There's another statement that Yahushua makes about these Pharisees, and it's very important that we understand them and understand this system. Oh, I'm back in. A while back. We're going to start at 16:1. Okay? The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted him, desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red. And lowing. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after the sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. He said, I'm out. But when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Yahushua said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay? So bear that in mind. So what he's saying to them now, and we're about to enter into that season where we're getting rid of leaven. There's certain things we're supposed to purge ourselves of. And he's telling you that what they're teaching is leaven. He's telling us the things that they're teaching, we're supposed to depart from it. We're supposed to rid ourselves of it. What does the leaven stand for? What does the leaven represent? Come on, what does it represent? Sin, right? So you mean they have sinful teachings among them? They have sinful teachings among them? Is that what Yahushua is saying? That their position to what I'm telling you? And what they're actually doing is keeping people from having a relationship with the Creator and not keeping the will of Yahweh? Is that what these Pharisees and these Sadducees are doing? But there's a root to it, and we've been going through Maccabees, so we should see it now. See? How many times have we seen in the Maccabees that men bought their way into the priesthood?
That's right.
That men bought their way into the high priest position?
Right.
That men bought seats of power?
Yeah.
Let's look at another thing that Yahushua said, because we're still building on it, Sam. I know folks sitting back like, well, we already went through this. And da, 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 da. You gotta be careful, man. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. We're gonna look at the book of Yahuchanan. We're gonna look at Bubba James. Matter of fact, we're gonna start. This is a long time. We're gonna start in John, the 8th chapter, the 31st verse. Says, then Yahushua to the Yehudim, which believed on him, if you continue, I'm sorry, then Yahushua said to the Yahudim, which believed in him, the Jews, which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Haven't we been talking about that? They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we never were in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Yahushua answered him, my brother always says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And what is their teaching? Leaven, which is sin. Make the connection. And the servant abideth, this is 8:35, and the servant abideth in the house forever, but the abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Let's bear this in mind, son. Let's bear this in mind. It's a little journey we're going on here. I speak, this is John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yahushua said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. A mother hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yah. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Elohim. And Yahushua said unto them, if Yah were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yah. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. I ain't come here because I wanted to come here. I came because he asked me to come down here. So he says in 8:43, why do you not understand my speech? Why y'all can't understand what I'm telling you? Why can't you? Because we sing from the Maccabees and hallelujah for Yahweh taking us on this journey.
Hallelujah.
If you bind your way into the priesthood, if you bind your way into these seats of power and you still buying it, you can't have a relationship that way. He said, a man that come any other way is a thief and a robber. You have to come through. My brother read it last night. He read it last night. I am the door to the sheepfold, is what Yahushua said. I am the door. My sheep know my voice. Did you not read that last night, my brother? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? And you put the correlation between that being the shield and the buckler, didn't you, last night, my brother? And how that shield was like a door in some instances. Right, my brother? You own Yah, are a sun and a shield. You show us favor and honor. No good thing do you withhold from him that walk with you. Almighty One, blessed is the man that trusts in you. All we have to do is trust in him. So he says this, going back to 8:42. Yahushua said unto them, if Yah were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Yah. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why y'all not understand? Why y'all can't understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Hear my word. Of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and a not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you cannot believe me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of Yah heareth Yah's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of Yah. Period. And he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But they have a father, an earthly father, who bears the name of the devil.
Hallelujah.
So now, let's fast forward a little bit, right? Because we're going to look at old Brother Paul. We're going to look a little bit of Brother Paul's history. Because Brother Paul had a father. And he says, 22:1. Now, if you want to read what was going on beforehand, you can. But Paul basically is addressing the Sanhedrin, the congregation, the leadership. And he says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept them more silent. And he said, so check this out, y'all. He's talking in Hebrew. Because he said, if I speak to you in Greek, if I speak to you in Latin, because I'm multilingual, y'all ain't going to listen to me in that. And some of y'all might not hear this. So we know he's speaking to Hebrews right now, right? Okay. He's pleading his case. If you want to read the chapters, we'll see what Paul is doing. Because Paul had a change of life. Okay? And he says, Acts 22:2, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, hallelujah, they kept them more silent. And he said, I am verily a man, which am a Hebrew, a Yahudim, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the Torah of the fathers, and was zealous toward Yah, as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness that I've been under the charge of the high priest. And all the estate of the elders, Nicodemus, okay, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus. It's so funny that this city still exists to this day. To bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So Paul is letting you know this is where he was at one point, and that he was learnt by an individual named Gamaliel. We're going to learn about him too. Hallelujah. Yahweh, where are y'all speaking? Okay? And he said, back to 22:5, and also the high priest that bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, for which also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He went and he took hostages. He was a hitman. He was a bounty hunter. Paul was. He was a bounty hunter for Gamaliel and the high priest and the people of that time. That's what he did. He was very effective at his job. Why? Because his heart and soul was in it at the time. He was doing it. That's what he's trying to tell you. I was zealous for the Torah. I was zealous for what the law of our fathers, as he states. Back to 22:6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about me, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Shaul, Shaul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Yahushua of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what should I do, Lord? And he said, Lord, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having the good report of all the Yahudim which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Shaul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, Yah of our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahushua, of the Lord, is what it says, Yahushua. And it came to pass, because he already knew Yah. That wasn't like now it is how it is nowadays. They used the name back then, and they knew the name back then. But he wasn't going to speak in the name of Yahushua, and we're going to see that. So when it says Lord, that should be Yahushua, okay? And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Concerning who? Yahushua. Okay, so we know that he's talking about you. When it says Lord, that he's talking about Yahushua, because now he's saying, this is intervention, so stay with me, please, family, okay? And I said, Yahushua, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them from thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So now we see why Paul got his commission. You see what I'm saying? Because he was paid to do a particular job. He couldn't go back to the Jews in Jerusalem because they would kill him. Simple as that. And we want to see proof, because we ain't done with old Gamaliel yet. Okay, so now we see in 22, Paul is saying, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. All right, I was hardcore. I was sold out on this thing. So turn with me, family. We're going to go to, we might read this whole chapter next right here. Okay? No, we're not going to read the whole chapter. All right, we're going to start at 5. We're going to read down for a little bit, but bear with me. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all within one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to Yahushua, multitudes, both men and women. So they moving in power like this. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Kepha, who at one point Yahushua said, get thee hence, Satan. This is after his death now, and the power was given to him that he was able to do this work. They said, and the shadow of Kepha, Peter, passing by, might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. The chapter is Acts 5:17. Then the high priest rose up, all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with what? Indignation. Y'all out here, y'all speaking in Yahushua, and y'all showing forth power in Yahushua, a man who we killed. We put this man to death, and y'all still believe it? Y'all preaching his name, and not just that, y'all doing miracles, and people are being drawn to you by way of these miracles? So they got a ding, and they was like, no! And everybody's being drawn out of their system into Yahushua's system. Guess what's happening? Their power is diminishing. And remember, we read in the Maccabees how they paid good money to hold these, more money than anybody. We talking about, what's his name? Steve Bezos money. Donald Trump money. They paying millions of dollars. Because if you can pay millions of dollars to get something, that means you got more millions stacked up. You got stacks. Because you ain't gonna go for broke like that. Especially if you're a greedy, lustful person. You ain't going to give up all your money. You're going to pay just enough so you can hold it and maintain it. But trust and believe, if they pay, how many millions? My brother calculated, how many millions did they pay for the priesthood back then? Somebody calculated. It was hundreds of millions that they paid for. Huh? The fruit was, oh, where the judge at? See? Texas to his brother. Texas to his old judge at L. Because we need to know. They paid hundreds of millions in their day. In their day, hundreds of millions, I believe the brother said it was. A lot of money. So you see now that the people who you had all this sway and influence and power over are being brought into this man who, and when he walked the earth, lived in poverty, who didn't buy into our system, who didn't kiss our ring. Did y'all see the video of him pulling his hand back when people went to kiss it? And it was so funny. Everybody knows because he's like, whoa. Talking about he don't want to spread germs. Now, you don't want to get infected, homie. Back to 517. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the second of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They sent them down a central book. When he said the common prison, they didn't put them in the federal pen. They didn't put them in the good pen. They sent them down to G-Pop. Where the baddie baddies are. You see what I'm saying? My brother used to work with the baddie baddies. Don't they send all the baddie baddies down there? Before they ship them out, right? You go to the, in New York, you don't want to go to Rikers. You pray they send you to one of the other prisons. Because the worst of the worst is in Rikers initially. Saying whether they catch an axe murder or whether they catch somebody who is on tax evasion, you first go to Rikers to however long it takes you to process. Your only hope of getting out of Rikers early is that you got a high-paid lawyer that will say, I'll get you out of there. At least I'll get you in a safer place. But when you on Rikers, y'all watch the video with the young man on Netflix, he killed himself based on his experience with Rikers. Rikers, even though it's a holding area, it's still a hardcore prison. That's where they sent the apostles, to a hardcore prison. Okay, when they say the common prison, it's the hardcore prison. Okay? But check this out. It's the beauty of it. Yeah. 519. But the angel of Yahweh, and I pray by all you send the prison, Yahweh, you send this, you do this for me, because you know I ain't prison material, y'all. This is my hope. 519. But the angel of Yahweh by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go! Hallelujah! You didn't do that for a half hour. Okay? Go stand and say the words of life. And when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, they got out that prison like they say nowadays, bopping, diddy bopping. You gave us that freedom? Oh, guess what? If you're free to sweat, you're free us again. So we're going out there with even more zeal. 521. And when they heard, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel. Pretty funny, I didn't realize we had so many Jews in our current Congress until that Muslim lady said, you didn't realize we had so many Jewish congressmen. Anyway, and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. So that means my man used to have the keys. You clink up, and you make sure it's clinked up, then you clink up another one, then you clink up the other one, and you clink up the other one, because if they could break past one, you got to have the zone that they can't break past so that you can get yourself together. Right, brother? You got a few clink ups, right? Remember you talking to me how different areas he had to secure. Make sure it's secure, especially where the baddie baddies were. So they're saying, look, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the door. They was right there. But when we had opened, we found no man or sin. Now, when the high priest, who bought his position, and the captain of the temple, who was one of his appointees, and the chief priest heard these things, doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Hallelujah. Then with the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. And now they realize, hold up, be careful with them. Let's be careful. Oh. Then when the captain with the officers, 5:26, and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? See, they didn't even mention the name. But what name they teaching in Sandy? Yahushua HaMashiach. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Hold up. Y'all asked for his blood to be upon you. Y'all asked for it. So what y'all mad about? This is something y'all said. His blood will be upon us. That's what they said. Then Kepha, Peter, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yah rather than men. Yah of our forefathers raised Yahushua up, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. He hath Yah exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also the Ruach HaKodesh, whom Yah has given to them that obey him. When they heard, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the Torah, had in reputation among all people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So let's stop right there, because we're going to Google old Gamaliel. Okay? Let's Google. Let's Google him. Okay? I hope my thing is going good. All right. So, and I'm getting this straight from Google. This gentleman named Gamaliel, because he is a historical figure. Hallelujah. See, Yahweh always got fears. So people who might think that, his word is antiquated and that he doesn't speak to us, and that, you know, his word is just gone away. No. He keeps certain things in there because you have to keep some historical context here. So anyway, I'm getting it straight from Wikipedia. Thank you, Yahweh, for Wikipedia. So it says Gamaliel the Elder, also spelled in Hebrew, either Rabban Gamaliel Hazakan, Koine Greek, or Rabban Gamaliel the First, was a leading authority in the Sanhedrin in the early 1st century CE, which is for common era. He was the son of Ben Hillel. Turn. Hillel. Spelled Hey Lamed Lamed. Okay? He was the son of Hillel and grandson of the great Jewish teacher, Hillel the Elder. Okay? Gamaliel is thought to have died in 52 CE, whatever AM 38:13 is. He fathered Shimon ben Gamaliel, who was named for his father, and a daughter who married a priest named Shimon ben Nathaniel. In the Christian tradition, Gamaliel is recognized as a Pharisee, doctor of the law, Acts of the Apostles 5, which we're reading, speaks of Gamaliel as a man held in great esteem by all Jews, Yehudim, who spoke not to condemn the apostles, 5:34, to death, and as the law of the teacher of Paul the Apostle, Acts 22:3. Okay, so we got some historical context now, huh? But notice who his father and his granddaddy was. Okay, let's remember that. Now, let's go back to the scriptures, because what Gamaliel is about to do right here is very important. Okay, where did we leave off? 34 told our dad, because this is very important. All right, so when they heard, they were cut to their heart, and 33 and leaving, and took counsel to slay them. Then he stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth. Give me a little space. Hold up, judges. Don't lay hands on this yet. Back up off, right? And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. As many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up, Yehuda of Galilee in the days of the taxes and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed. So he's talking about different people who rose up and just kind of fell off, right? And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of Yah, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against Yah. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, still whooping, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Yahushua and let them go. So, you mean to tell me, even after all of that, you say, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to tell y'all not to fight against God, but y'all don't speak in the name of Yahushua. So when he says, be of your father, the devil, what is he saying? And when he says, ye are of the synagogue of Satan, what is he saying? Pay attention to the name. Okay? So let's look at his granddaddy. Because, see, there are two schools of thought that we learned out from back in the day.
Right.
See, don't just look at it as being Hasatan in the sense of just the adversarial force. But see, one of the things that and their doctrines are known for, and even Yahushua says, if I come in my name, y'all don't receive me. But if a man come in another name, y'all receive him.
Amen.
Well, one of the things that we learn about certain writers, and we're going to look at it, that you can't come up and speak on the word of Yah unless you speak in the name of somebody prior to taught you, and so on and so forth, in that system. We're going to take a look at it. Because what he says of the synagogue of Satan, don't just look at it as that. Look at it as the prevailing school of thought of that day, who Gamaliel was a leader in, and who his father bears this name. Of all names, why Hillel? Why Hillel? Why? Why Hillel? Why? Why? Why couldn't he have been any other name? And there are two very prominent Hillels. One we're going to look at. And they did two very distinct things in the work of those who praise Yah. Okay, so now we see Gamaliel, and we looked up Gamaliel, we see Gamaliel as a historical figure, that one of the things that he did was tell the people not to use the name Yahushua. Did we see that? That's in the word, right? Okay. So now we're going to Google again. Hallelujah for Google. So now if you still have that up, we're going to look at Gamaliel's father was Shimeon, then Hillel, right? So now we're going to look up Hillel the elder. It's a very important figure because these people shaped. Now, if you Google it, if you hit the link in Wikipedia and you go straight to Hillel the elder, what's the first thing that you're going to see? How his name is spelled. Right there, right? Hey, Lamed Lamed, right? Hey, Lamed Lamed, right? Which is just one letter off. Uh-oh. Been a long time. Which is just one letter off. You see, there's only one letter in the midst of it, right? That's the difference between the name of Hasatan and the name of this man. Okay. And not that the name is a bad name in the sense of anybody named Hillel is automatically going to be a bad person.
Right.
I hope y'all can keep it all in context in the sense that Yahushua was saying that this is a school of thought, a train of thought that I want y'all to avoid.
Right.
Okay? Because they don't speak in the name of Yahweh.
Right.
In all actuality, you can't speak according to the Torah unless you go through their system and unless you raise up something in the name of somebody who came in the name of somebody who came in the name of somebody before him. You see what I'm saying? So there has to be a system of doing that. So we're going to look up old Mr. Hillel. All right? Variously called Hillel HaGadol or Hillel HaZaken, Hillel HaBabli or HaBabli was born according to the tradition in Babylon in 110 before the common era, died in 10 in the common era. So that means he lived 10 years into the life of Yahushua, right? Because that's what common era really stands for. Even though they try not to use the term AD anymore, Anno Domini, when you see common era, that really marks the time where they believe Yahushua came on the scene. So they're saying that this man was around 10 years into the life of Yahushua, okay? Or somewhere about. So, and we're going to see something. was a Jewish leader, one of the most important figures in Jewish history. He is associated with the development of the Mishnah and the Talmud. Renowned with Judaism as a sage and scholar, he was the founder of the House of Law. So, when you look at the school of thought and you look at what we just read and these all being the students and disciples of him, what are we seeing? Historically, what are we seeing? A system that fought against Yahushua. Am I the only one seeing that? Please correct me if I'm wrong. And then what we learn in the book of Maccabees is these men bought these seats of power. Right? We just learned that. That didn't change between the time of the Maccabees and now. We're only talking about a couple of years before Yahushua came on the scene. Maybe 100, perhaps 150, 200 before Yahushua came on the scene. The event of the Maccabees took place. So these men are still in seats of power. Him, Caiaphas, him, King Herod, all of these people. These weren't people who were, quote unquote, direct lineage people that may have been, because one of the things that we learn in the book of Maccabees is they may have been from the tribe or from a particular tribe, but they weren't the righteous among the tribe. These are some of the base among the tribe. These are the ones with the money among the tribe. Okay? So he's associated with the development of the Mishnah and the Talmud, renowned with Judaism as a sage and scholar. He was the founder of the House of Hillel, school for Tanaim, sages of the Mishnah, and the founder of the dynasty of sages who stood at the head of the Jews living in the land of Israel until roughly the 5th century. Okay? He is properly known as the author of two sayings, if I am not for me, for myself, who is for me? And being for my own self, what am I? And if not now, when? Why isn't he known for quoting Torah? Why is he not known for quoting Torah? To me, if you're a sage, that's the first thing you should quote. But guess what? You can't speak what's not in you. And the word of Yahweh has to be in you. See, when Yahushua asked him, what was the greatest commandment of all? Because that's what he's saying. This is where we get the quote-unquote golden rule from. But when Yahushua said, what is the greatest commandment of all? What did he say? He spoke the Torah. Love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your strength. And the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hold up. Why didn't you say that? So now you're coming up with your own words, your own way of thinking, your own philosophy. And being for my own self, what am I? And if not now, when? And the expressions of the ethic of reciprocity or golden rule, that which is hateful to you, do not to your fellow. That is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. Go and learn. There's one other thing. I'm going to read a little bit from the biography part. Just a little bit about him. All right, Hillel was born in Babylon, according to the Igaret of Rav Shirera Gaon. I don't know who that is. A comprehensive history of the composition of the Talmud from the 10th century. Hillel descended from the tribe of Benjamin of his father. So now we even see why Paul at one point boasted that he was from the tribe of Benjamin, because they was all good kinfolk. And these men were looked at as great figures among that day. And Paul, we saw just read earlier, being pulled from that system, still took pride, because why Benjamin of all tribes? Son of my right hand. I would like to be from the tribe of Benjamin. When you think of the right hand, the first thing you go think, Yahushua. You know, sit at my right hand. This the right, of the right, this right, right? Huh? So even when you think, and even when you think historically, Benjamin was the bad boy tribe. They was the ones who could do the sling with the left and the right. They was the warrior tribe, right? They was the ones that when they were in trouble, they called the little brother, Benjamin! You need a little backup in this fight here. Benjamin, they were the bad boys amongst the tribe, right or wrong? We learned that, okay? So that gives him a little bit more zeal and umph to his name. Hillel descended from the tribe of Benjamin, on his father's side, and from the family of David, on his mother's side. When Josephus speaks of Hillel's great-grandson, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel I, as belonging to a very celebrated family, he probably refers to the glory the family owed to the activity of Hillel and Rabban Gamaliel HaZaken. Only Hillel's brother Shebna is mentioned. He was a merchant, whereas Hillel devoted himself to studying the Torah whilst also working as a woodcutter. So you see what it said that his brother was? His brother was a prominent merchant. I mean, his brother had money. You see what I'm saying? So just little concepts, little clues that were given to us in there in regards to this man and who he was and the prominence that they had. Okay, so when Yahushua said, talking about beware the leaven of the Pharisees, that's where these teaching comes from. When he said of your father the devil, he's referring to the teaching that come from this individual and his grandson. And we see to the point where his grandson ruled. First of all, the reason why they get in trouble is they're speaking in the name of Yahushua. He said to them, don't preach in the name of Yahushua. So all that we see that has come about as a result of this, guess what? They started it. They started it. So when he says, you who claim to be of the Yahudim, but of the synagogue of Satan, don't look at it as they say in their teaching. When you see the term Ben, don't just see stones, but see sons sometimes. And don't just see sons, see stones sometimes. When you see that, don't just think Satan. Think this system that they have set up systematically that still to this day works against the belief in Yahushua. You see what I'm saying? That's it. Nothing more to add except one other thing from the word of Yahweh and what they do, which Yahweh said not to do. Huh? Deuteronomy 4:2. And this goes right back to the garden. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, and these are the words of Moshe, who everybody is supposed to fall in line with, right? And this is what Moshe says. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I command you. See what I'm saying? So if Yahweh says this, if Yahweh says this through Moshe, remember, Yahweh represents Moshe, and Aaron, his brother, represents the prophet. If he says do not add and do not take away from his word, who is anybody to add or take away from his word? To bring up volumes of books that explain his word. First of all, the prophets didn't come in volumes of books. The prophet to Yahweh came in the strength and the power of Yahweh. See? From Moshe on down. So you don't need volumes of books to explain the will and the word of Yahweh, and then you come up, and as we're going into the season, that you have an egg at the center plate. He said three things are supposed to be present at the Passover Seder. And what is it, family? Maror, matzah, and the what? And the shank bone. So why we got a Seder plate with like 6-7 items on it? And one at least the egg. And an Easter egg. But that comes from his teaching, the Talmud. Out of the Babylonian captivity. Am I the only one that sees it? Y'all do see that with me, right? Because he is known from coming out of the Babylonian captivity. What did we take out of Babylon? We took a lot of sin with us from out of Babylon. As a matter of fact, we learned in the book of Daniel why it's important. The Babylonians knew how to influence and infiltrate our young. So in that way, when they came up, they had the Babylonian way of thinking. You see what I'm saying? So all that they're bringing and what Paul even referred to as Eudissimos, the Jews' religion, guess what we're in the midst of right now?
That's right.
Guess what we're in the midst of right now? But we're not done with the Hillel because there's another Hillel. I got one more Hillel we got to look at. This is the other Hillel. Because remember, he said he gave the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs, for seasons, and for days. So we're going to look at another Hillel. This is just one prominent Hillel. There's Hillel 2. Okay? Now look up Hillel 2. This is from Wikipedia. This is Brother Ahabel stuff. This is common knowledge. This is out there for everybody. It says Hillel 2 in Hebrew. Hey, Lamed Lamed. Hillel the Nasi, also known simply as Hillel, was a Jewish Amor of the fifth generation in the land of Israel. He held the office of Nasi of the Sanhedrin between 320 and 385, common era. He was the son of the successor of Judah III. He is sometimes confused with Hillel the Elder, so we don't want to confuse him, as the Talmud sometimes simply uses the name Hillel. In two instances, his name is quoted in connection with the important decision in Jewish law. In one, Yosef ben Abin expounds to him a law, and the other Hillel cites a Mishnah to establish law, okay? Now, it might be a little bit of stuff about, you know, Jewish culture, whatever, that we are here somewhat familiar with. You can go back and look at it or talk to somebody if you're not too much familiar with it here, right? I'm going to skip through because the rest of it is just commentary, right? But we're going to go down to in Wikipedia where it says fixing of the calendar. Right? Because now you get Yahweh said, I gave the sun, moon, and stars, the signs of seasons and days. And he also said in Daniel 7:25 that they were going to change times and laws. So right here, among the tradition of the Jews, there are times and laws that they're keeping that are not in line with the Torah. Why? Because of another prominent Hillel. Okay? Another prominent Lamed Lamed. He is traditionally regarded as the creator of the modern fixed calendar. Can you keep Yahweh's will with their fixed calendar?
No.
In all actuality, guess what? When Yahushua said, y'all not getting in the kingdom, and neither are y'all allowing others to get into the kingdom, because guess what? What have we learned about his feast days and his holy days, especially as we are a few weeks away from embarking into his holy season? What are they? Appointments. Hallelujah. We're hours away. Hallelujah. I didn't know that. Hallelujah. Okay. So, as we enter into these appointments, what are they for? My brother taught on that last year. You forgot? Okay. Just like I go to, not my favorite doctor's visit, I go to my urologist for my yearly checkup. I go there to ensure that at some point my prostate is not enlarged. And if my prostate is enlarged and that my antigens show a specific amount, that I'm showing signs of cancer. Because my daddy died from cancer, which started in the prostate, which is very preventable. I go to my cardiologist because I don't want to die from a heart attack, hopefully, if I can prevent it. Okay? I like looking at things. So I go to my eye doctor every year, twice a year, to make sure my eye health is good. They think I may have, what is that, not glaucoma. What's the other one? Cataract, or maybe glaucoma. Cataract is a little thing, because my mother suffers from cataract. That's the way they got it. So I got issues in my family history that I got to get, that I like to stay on top of. So that hopefully if y'all allow me to live to see my elder years, I can see, chew, because I go to my dentist too, as well as have a good quality of life. Okay? Pray for me. Yahweh, let me live to see them elder years. All right? So, spiritually speaking, if we miss these appointments, what happens? Because the term, for as my brother said, appointments, mo'ad, mo'adim, but also, what are they for also in this world? Witnesses. So we also, if you're doing Yahweh's will, if you are following these holy days, you keep in Shabbat, you keep in Pesach, you keep in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you keep in Shavuot in the time that Yahweh says to do it, you're doing. You are witnessing to the world that Yahweh still exists. And that there are people in this world that believe in him and exist for him. People who they fight against. You see what I'm saying? So now, especially for Shavuot, Yahweh says, keep this a particular way. He says, the morrow after Shabbat, count 7 consecutive Shabbats, and you keep this day. Right? Does he give a fixed day to keep it? So why every Shavuot they keep it on a fixed day? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So the calendar is out of order. It was given by a guy named Hillel. Whose root is in Halal. You see what I'm saying? So let's not forget his work and the work that they have done. Because you could have simply looked into the Torah and said, you know what? Everybody in the diaspora, this is what we're going to rule. Pay attention to the time, like Yahweh said to do. Simple as that. Isn't that what we're doing? Do we need anything other than one or two dedicated brothers that every month takes the time? So it's not impossible to do and to be on time because the brothers are doing it. Right? That's what I said. Two or three brothers and a helper, right? So we've got brothers in here that every month diligently watch the days of. Why do you have to set up a calendar that doesn't even line up with Yahweh? You feel me, family? So that's the work of their father. the devil, who says, I am going to exalt myself above Yahweh's name. I am going to be like the Most High. Because when you implement a system that you tell people they need to follow, you are like the Most High. Because you're not telling them, they're doing it based on your system, not on his system. So have you not made yourself like the Most High? Because now everybody follows. Hello? Hello? The synagogue. Hello. The adversary. Because they, as we've seen proof positive in the book of Acts, have been an adversarial force to the people of Yahweh. Shalom. Hallelujah. Any thoughts, family? Anything? Hallelujah. Yes, I see. Hold on. Let me get the mic over to you.
Things against the Most High.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we think about him just like boasting and bragging about
right.
it. But when we look into Acts, he did something real subtle. That's
mm-hmm.
all he did was gave up history. He said, mm-hmm. think about Thaddeus. Think about this person. Think about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's going to happen with these people? That
mm-hmm.
wasn't nothing huge.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did was he gave them recent memories
mm-hmm.
and then still tried to shut them down that and beat them on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you think about the great thing, I mean, think about who wants to get beat.
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to get beat. That's a great thing. That's a boasting against the Most High.
No.
But, you know, it's not, oh, God did this thing. You know, it's
exactly.
it's just, it's the real subtle ways that he do things, you know. And it's like, that's the great thing about walking with the Most High. Because
mm-hmm.
he opens up other avenues.
Amen.
You know, it's more than what's just there.
Amen.
Just,
amen.
He just opens up other avenues.
Amen.
You know?
Hallelujah. And that's such a good point, IQ, that you mentioned that, because everybody thinks that, you know, they look at it from the grand scheme of things. Oh, you know, that he's out there like a blowhard. No, we're going to allow y'all to live, but just don't go out there and speak in the name of Yahushua. Just because he's not yelling it at the top of his lungs and he didn't do a quote-unquote decree like what Nebuchadnezzar did in Babylon doesn't mean that that wasn't a great thing that he spoke against the Most High. Because he's telling people, don't preach salvation. Don't preach Yah's salvation. Come on.
Yahweh see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great boast in itself. That's the biggest boast.
That's right.
Because once you get the question in there, once your mind is like, well, did he really say?
Mm-hmm.
He got you.
Got you.
You know, he got you. It's like you sort of say, don't be tossed
mm-hmm.
back and forth every wind of doctrine. Well,
man.
You got to be stable. You got to stand on that rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And once you get the lean and once you get the, that's
right.
it. Once you're going one way too far to the left or to the right,
mm-hmm.
he got you.
Got you. And he's got thousands upon thousands of people going down a path that doesn't lead to salvation. He said, you're not getting in the kingdom and you're not allowing others to get in. That's the same system that is still doing that to this day. You know? But to give Yahweh his honor, his glory, his due for calling us out and allowing us to see these things, for allowing us to not be caught up in the system. He saved us, family. He saved us from having been, because there was even a time he was doing this. He was doing this. You see what I'm saying? He was doing it. So when he said that wide is the way and broad is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, but narrow is the way that leads unto salvation. And said, if it were possible, his very elect would be deceived. We were in the system as believers in Yahushua at one point. We were. But he saved us from that. He did. So hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor be to our Heavenly Father Yahweh for saving us and calling us out and being merciful unto us. Let's be thankful for every day that he has given us, family, and having that relationship with us, man. He's merciful. Cool, cool, Mr. Bukai. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Better day you all. Would you mind closing this out, Aki?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua, HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Savior from the King, our brother. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, and we thank you, Father, for the words that you put on our brother's heart to bring forth your word, Father. We thank you for opening up his mind, and we thank you for edifying us, Father.
Amen.
We thank you for this time that you set apart for us, Father.
Amen.
This appointment that we never want to miss, Father.
Amen.
We never want to miss this time with you, Father.
No, sir.
It's a wonderful time. It's a joyous occasion.
Mm.
And we give it to us so much. It's just a beautiful thing, Father.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
We ask, Father, that you continue to reveal your word onto our brother, Ha, as he brings forth your word again.
Amen.
We thank you for the word that you gave our brother, Yahreel, last night, Father, about keeping that armor up, Father, and allowing us to see that door, that shield, in such another way, Father.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you keep on expanding our minds, Father, and just bringing us to you, opening our eyes and elevating our minds, Father. But most of all, Father, because at the end of the day, that's all you want.
That's right. Amen.
So we ask all these things, Father. We pray that you strengthen us to overcome any trials that the adversary brings to us, Father, and that we learn from everything that we go through, Father.
Amen.
Every good, bad, and indifferent, Father, that we always take away the lesson.
Amen.
We ask that you protect anyone that's on their way, anybody who's hurting or ailing, Father, that you comfort them. We ask that you watch after the Zakons and watch after the children, Father.
Amen.
Watch after all of Israel.
Amen.
Let the whole world praise your name, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yahushua's name be asked.